We've been in denial on promises. That's always been a hot stone. And since 2002, they've been in Jamaica, working there, and we've been teamed up with them those 3 years as together mission project. And, this congregation has been doing that about 30 years now. But, so you're a third mission. 25, 28, something like that. Steve Allen's brother. Anyway, they were in West Africa, weren't they? That was long before my time. And then after that, we had the Oswalds in Taiwan at the seminary there for that was in about 10 years. And Ghana, West Africa. And Mount Elizabeth. So I'll turn it over to you. Thank you for being here. Let's welcome them.
Sugar cane, that's great stuff. Not good for teeth, that's great stuff. It's one man, another hidden crop. And a lot of people like to carve it off and then they chew it for a snack. Banana, the other big one. Oh, okay. Oh, great. All right, that way I can stand over here.
I'll look in a little bit.
Excellent. Besides bananas, they have coffee, that's the next slide. A lot of coffee. You ever heard of Blue Mountain Coffee? Great stuff. Supposedly it's served in the White House, comes from Jamaica. And Blue Mountain Coffee is not so much an area, but it's the type of coffee that is grown in Jamaica. It has to be grown at a certain elevation, and Jamaica has a lot of places to grow it.
In the US, it's like $50
a pound. Yeah, in the US, it's $50 a pound. Great stuff. Besides the coffee, there's also our citrus fruits, other vegetables, livestock, a lot of the poultry and beef are grown there. So one of the other main industries that I don't picture of is, what do you think? Main industry.
Tourism.
Exactly, tourism. A lot of people. How many of you have been to Jamaica on a cruise or a resort? Now what you see when you go to a resort is not Jamaica. What you have there is an enclosed, secure area that is next to heaven, I would say. We've been to one of these all-inclusive resorts a couple of times. Expensive, I'll get out, but boy. Any amateur here, I mean, everything's done for you, and you just go there and enjoy yourself. But that's not the real Jamaica. All right, this is a picture of Parliament. It's kind of fuzzy, it's kind of blurry a little bit. The guy in the center with a pen in his hand is the Prime Minister. It's only because of slides bad. It's J.P. Patterson, he's the Prime Minister, and then we have other officials in there. The government of Jamaica, basically it's been on its independence, its own since 1962, but it's still a member of the British Commonwealth. Economically, they really struggle. 80% of the gross national product goes to paying the interest on the debt they have. So you can imagine where that's leading. But it's a rough situation, and it goes up more and more every year. Unemployment, roughly around 18%. And the men, especially, have a difficult time. I'm just kind of adding in here, not just with unemployment, but making any kind of commitment whatsoever to church, to family, to whatnot. All right. Oh, it's already there. Thank you. This is a picture of who? Santa Claus? Close. Claus. It's different Claus. It's Ken Claus. Ken Claus, Lutnar speaking. We have a Lutnar down in Jamaica. It's been there for 50 years. And a lot of the people who are over 40, if you ask them if you've ever heard of Lutherans, they don't know what you're talking about. But if you say the Lutheran Hour in congratulations, they say, oh, yes, I used to listen to it. It's a great show. Why is it not on the radio anymore? It is on the radio, we change stations, but it first brought in Lutheranism to Jamaica. And through that, our work started. So next slide. And these were one of the first, these are the third missionary family to come to Jamaica. You may know, never mind, no. These are the Currys. Pastor Carla Kirby, Pastor Peter Kirby, his son Ian, and daughter Amanda, they are now down in Carlinville. They served there for 8 years in Jamaica. These are the missionaries that are now there now. You recognize four of them. The lady here is a volunteer career missionary. And the rest of the O'Neill family, Pastor O'Neill, his son James, John, Grace, and wife Jennifer. We all serve down in Jamaica. They just got here last September. They got here just in time. They arrived on a Monday, and a hurricane hit my roof. Welcome to Jamaica. We applauded because they lived out of suitcases during the hurricane. They actually got electricity. They just got a stove hooked up, and they're living. And they're still there, surprisingly. They didn't decide to leave right after that. Praise the Lord, they're with us, and they're all right. We have two congregations basically established in Kingston. One, been there since 95. This is basically, a lot of these members are the Kingston members. example of our worship. It's not the place we normally worship, but just think of worship.
I guess for sure.
This is the Portmore congregation, much smaller congregation. It's bigger now. And by the way, this gentleman here, Basil Jones, is the reason why we have a Lutheran church down there. He listened to the Lutheran art, loved it so much, kept writing to Missouri Synod, saying, you've got to send missionaries down there. We've got to start a church down there. So he's the man, the reason for our Lutheran church being down in Jamaica. By the way, keep in your prayers, he's in the intensive care of the hospital. I heard where he is, if he needs out there. Yes, he's posing. Kids love, they'll take their picture, and then they'll take them once serious, and they'll usually don't smile, and then they'll just pose and really care.
Could you please
yeah, she is posing. That's Dana. Anyway, all right, we're in. Next, yes, this is worship in Bath Island. We have a health clinic out there. It does not have official worship services. A lot of the people here are volunteers who came down to work in Bath Mountain as they were rebuilding the clinic. Next picture. Oh, maybe go back to the picture plan. Am I going to talk about anything else? Oh, we'll talk about Bath Mountain more later. Okay, so here we are. Our main focus of our work in Jamaica now is to leadership training. Here's one of our leadership seminars with the main leaders of our church. Trying to lead so that these people can train these people so they can lead the church on their own, making it self-sufficient. That's our goal. And under the Ablaze initiative, as you know, how many heard of Ablaze? Yeah, okay, good. Your pastor is doing a good job pushing Ablaze, at least informing you about Ablaze. Now, all the strategy and the mission, all the missions are supposed to be now tuning into the Ablaze. So our strategy has changed in our mission field from a situation where we're more slowly bringing the congregation into taking on the role of leadership. Now we've had to jump start it, and jump ahead of our strategy, and now we're actually going to have them call one of their people to be the pastor for the next 6 months, and then the next 6 months after that, call someone more, and then basically the missionaries will be mainly focusing on training and also evangelism, training people to be evangelists. That's our new focus. It should have been our focus before, but the mission board has rightly so given us an ultimatum and say, hey, look at what's happening, and what are you creating? A dependent church or a church that's on its own? They always ask missionaries at this issue. So we're working for leadership training for the Ablaze Mission. One part of our work as far as training is training music. It's really hard. How many musicians do you have here for this church? Anybody know? One, two? How many organists do you have? One? Two?
Five? One place.
Right, exactly. But you have plenty of people who could lead the music of the church. But it's a gift, it's something we have taken for granted. I hold my mom's home church, we have five organists, and they rotate. So, and it's a church of only, 200 attending every Sunday. But yet in Kingston, we don't have any musicians. We have to hire someone from the outside to put in place. So one part of the training program of making it more self-sufficient is training musicians. So my wife is leading guitar classes and also creating a worship, a team that actually helps facilitate the worship service, leading the people in responses and the music. So that's another part of the training situation. Another thing we have that I haven't mentioned yet, it's not part of the strategy, but yet is, we have a plot of land that is waiting to be built, where a church and a mission center is waiting to be built. But we're having so much red tape through the government. We bought this land in 2002 in October, 2003, and it's still sitting there empty. But we have hopes that soon the government will let us build a church there. That's one of our building plans. And once we start that, God willing, we're going to try to bring in a lot of volunteer groups in from the U.S. We talked about earlier, we were all pastors. One of our lay preachers, who's been preaching for us for a long time, is Patrick Jones. And he's also been for our podium, which I'll talk about later. He's one of our leaders. Claudius Dell, who works out with the Evangelist of Alabama. He's one of our leaders of the training. And then we have others. And just Patrick Ting is one of them who we hope to have the accommodations in these. He's one of our younger members. He's not at 20 years old. One other outreach we have is VBS. We have teams come in every year and do VBS in the summertime, mainly in August. During that VBS, we can have up to 150 kids attending in one day. So, I should say for the whole week. We'll have people are signing up and coming regularly, one day or 2 days, whatever, 150 kids throughout the week. So, and we have one in Kingston, and in Bath, in Portmore, just a picture of one of the pictures in Portmore. And you see Dana there she is. I want to get her picture taken.
Health clinic with a doctor we hired and come in and get medical help.
self-prescription medicine, legally self-prescription medicine, at cost. So that's one of our ministries. We're trying to start a church out there. And you see this little nurse, one of the nurses doing the blood pressure check. Okay? Next picture. Yes, his body is still to the right. Sorry, he's facing. But he helps us with the clinic. We also use the clinic as a community center. So if they want to have some kind of community meeting, they can meet there. Claudia Stell has Sunday services when he can have them. A lot of the kids come there on Sunday morning and has devotions with them and usually shows them some video or sends them material naturally. Now, closing to the end here. The future of St. Andrew is not in the missionaries. The future of St. Andrew is in the people themselves. That's why I want our emphasis again in the state is training them. Training the leadership. A lot of women are involved in the church. A lot of women. Right? Less men. We'd like to see more men. They are there. This is another session, training session. I might be biased at that. But anyway, the people of the St. Andrew are the future. The kids especially. We have probably in attendance between 15 to 25 kids in attendance to the youth group. And that's the congregation that has maybe at the most on a Sunday 70 people attending. There are a lot of youth out there in Kingston that need guidance, and they come. And they come. They come even if their parents don't go to the church. They come anyway because they need guidance. They need leadership. And a lot of times the parents will send them to the youth group too because they know they will know where they are. They know what they're doing. The kids come. They have fun. The youth of Jamaica are very open, very willing to do a lot of things that I've find out that youth here in the United States aren't ready to do. Praise the Lord, the youth want to know the church. That's the kind of future. So the hope for Kingston's Indian Church, I think, is in the youth. Just confirmed, six kids. And there's another six waiting to be confirmed. So that's basically. Thank you for your gifts, your financial gifts, thank you for your prayers to keep this ministry alive. Now I have two questions to you.
How much penetration by Muslims has it been?
Not a whole lot. It's a predominantly Christian nation. But there's Jews there. There are some Muslims. I talked to them, witnessed to them. But not too many. But it's a growing religion, just like any place else in the world. It's a growing religion. Yeah.
People you're training to take over the church, are they going to go to the seminary here in this country?
Not full time. We would like to send them up here for workshops and classes. We also train them. We also would like to bring down people to train them too. So it'll be various different ways of training them because we're still working.
Predominant language English?
Well, it's the predominant language from, if someone would talk to me, it would be English, but the predominant language is Patois. Patois.
What kind of language
is that? It's a mix between various countries, some African, some British, some not so much French. Some of it's just very unique to the Patois language. Basically, the Patois language developed out of, how should I say, the slave trade. That's what they say. When masters had slaves, the slaves wouldn't communicate in a way that masters wouldn't understand. The language came out of that. And I think that's basically what they say. And it keeps developing and developing to the point where now it is its own language.
How do you spell it?
P-A-T-O-I-S. I mean, that's French. It sounds French. It's a technical term. It's used to describe many languages that are mixed language. Actually, it sounds French. Yes, it's a French word. It's not, the French language is not involved with the Patois in Jamaica. It is involved in the Patois in Haiti. Yes. Not very well. Yeah, I know. My wife and I had a little skit that we would do on that. But it's an interesting thing. Patois is something we have taken classes on to learn. But when a person talks to you in Jamaica, they usually want to talk to you in English. Now, if they start in Patois, you say, what? Then they'll right away switch gears and talk to you in English. It's a funny thing. We've taken classes, but yet the teacher who taught us has told us that people would not like her to teach us the language because they want the language to be their own, you know. And so they want to be able to communicate with other people and not have people understand them. It's kind of complicated. Yes.
Do you have any timeline for how long you can see yourself over there? And also, I know I'm going to tell take, but do you have any timeline for when you start this building?
Well, the timeline for the building, it's going to start in December 2003. We went to a lot of their tape with it, and now it's gotten to the point where we're ready to chuck it and say, let's sell that because we've gotten out of it. Let's buy a piece of property with a building already on it and then develop the building. And we're thinking seriously going that. Because we're tired of everything. And we know that if we have land with a building already on it, we can go ahead and submit the design, go ahead and make the changes already. Because that building has already been accepted by the government. Yes?
Does the government intentionally try to hold up the starting the church?
The government or people may want a little bribe. We don't know for sure. We don't know all the facts, but we do know this. The people who are going to buy the land, they're going to come in there, and if in 6 months they're going to have a building on the property, it's a business. And that's what we know is going to happen. So we're going to be really sad to see that happen. But we don't want to, we want to do the right thing, the legal thing, the way God would want it. One more final thing on that. A lot of businesses or places in Jamaica will go ahead and start a building without having government approval, and we'll hope for the approval while we didn't want to work that way. It's not by law, it's not the right thing. All right, back to this.
Yeah, I just kind of want to know what they import, what they export, what kind of things they produce agriculture-wise.
Yeah, well, they don't export a whole lot, except aluminum, bauxite, I should say, not aluminum, bauxite, and then banana, and I don't know. The one thing it's exported a lot is people. People will go from the island and go to other countries to work. But they really don't have any real, a lot of resources, natural resources that can export. Oh, I shouldn't forget, I forgot about cement is one of them. They do have good cement in Jamaica. That is taken to different countries. Carib cement. Yeah.
Could you describe the Rastafarian movement and how you interact with it and work?
The Rastafarians, when we talk to them, we can agree on a lot of things. But basically where we differ, of course, is who is the Christ? Ross Bryant, Haile Selassie from Ethiopia, of course, he's dead. They also believe in smoking marijuana, which is basically kind of more of the crutch of why they really want the religion, I think. To smoke pot, it's a part of the religion, smoke pot. Cannabis, whatever you want to call it, that's a big part of the religion. But as far as a lot of Old Testament scholars, we agree on it, and a lot of good works, they agree on that. We don't really agree on good works and that saves you, but they agree as far as salvation. We don't agree with them too much, I should say. Any specific questions with that?
The involvement in the political involvement or the political movement in Jamaica and the way over the last 40 years has really been so much a part of the culture, the music. And how does that hinder what you're doing? Is it a fruitful field that you can go about because you have those points of common interest, and yet there are differences we need to explore.
Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of sad the other day. I went to the Bob Marley Museum, and they just praised Bob Marley for being a wonderful thing that happened in Jamaica. And he does have wonderful music. but he was a Rastafarian. He didn't believe in the Christ as we believe in it. They say on his deathbed he confessed faith in Christ. But he smoked ganja. He slept around with women, and that's a part of the religion, believing that a man should be free in that respect. So, you know, I don't see how it's good for Jamaica. And the ganja is the biggest thing. It's a big problem in Jamaica. And just the other day, I was reading a story on ganja, how it affects, you know, some people say it's just like smoking a cigarette. Yes and no, but they've proven that ganja actually hurts the brain. It actually changes the brain. I can't see how Bob Marley helps the country. It does give recognition, but what kind of recognition? I don't think it's impossible.
Well, the coat of arms and the coat of sobriety.
It's Seventh-day Adventists. that. The next one is the Roman Catholic Church, and then you've got Episcopalians, and you can look at that. Okay, Baptists are probably red. Why do you think Seventh-day Adventists are popular? If you can tell me, I would be glad to know. I believe it's because of their works ethics, works righteousness. You have to do this and that to be saved. You have to worship on Saturday. If you don't worship on Saturday, your church is basically part of the Antichrist. We're in the Antichrist. So it's an interesting situation. Now, the Seventh-day Adventist Church worldwide is changing. It's reforming. So you can't say, you can't just blank and say, oh, all Seventh-day Adventist Church are over there. You can't say that. You know, want to say that too. One thing about Jamaica, it is fairly conservative in many ways. And they're very much, and in other countries. And they look at the U.S., they look and see certain things, I should say, about religion anyway, that they can't believe. For example, when you start talking about the fact that we have a, here in the U.S., a gay, openly gay Episcopal bishop down in Jamaica, they think that's crazy. They simply think that's crazy. So in some ways, in very many ways, in some ways, we're concerned about it. We have a little bit of a pet talk. How much time do we have? Remember last night? We're going to do this. Love talking to you. And Yeah, I'm back there, I'm sorry.
Where do you live? Like, do you live at home, do you live at church?
We live in just a home in the community. We didn't know exactly where we lived when we got there, but we picked out a home that's in a kind of a suburban community, and it's nice. We live in a half house. The landlord lives next to us in a six-bedroom, five-bedroom house, and then attached up here are three-bedroom home. And it's in a community that's fairly quiet, so we can go walking along there and carry a big stick to ward off the dog, and we'll be fine. Is that interesting? Okay.
Yeah. What about the pace of life?
The fast-paced life. Go, go, go. I mean, so for example, you get out of the road, you have people passing you if you're doing the speed limit. You have people passing you if a car is coming from the opposite direction. They just go. They just do it. The drivers in Jamaica, the taxi drivers, the bus drivers are all crazy. Okay? Are there any accidents? The people, you know, the people drive well. Crazy if they drive well. If you really want to get around quickly, the best thing to get is a motorcycle. Because then the cops ignore you and just do what you want. You can scoot in and out of traffic jams. I'm not going to be worse. Yeah.
Is your work like a health plan? Is that a doctor driver or is that just a person?
Just for this. We do have a doctor come in from the hospital. We pay him to come in and do the clinical on site. Yeah.
You have television down there. You have McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell.
All the above. Do what? The Taco Bell?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. Taco Bell. No. We had a Taco Bell, but they closed it. The people didn't like the food. But they do have Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's, Pizza.
Television too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, a lot of people have television. Even poorer people have television. And sometimes they'll have cable before they'll have anything else. Cable is very popular. And people, you ask them, they have a hard time paying your bills and stuff. You know, they come back, what have you given up? And then you ask them, do you have cable? Yeah. And then you ask them, why don't you give up? I can't give up cable. Anyway, imagine like that in the States too. Yes.
Is there a lot of fishing training?
Fishing. Fresh fish is very popular. The people who love to buy fish at the side of the road, with the guys who are selling fresh product. They love to have things that are fresh. Is there a big trade? I haven't looked into it. But I've been told you shouldn't eat any of the fish that come out of Kingston Harbor because it's highly polluted. So, but my wife and I are vegetarians, so. I'm a passive vegetarian, if you set me from the idea, but I eat my wife's cooking meat.
Is the terrain mountainous, hilly? I get the impression that you're not raising dominant crops, speak of bananas, etc.
Right. It's because the terrain for a lot of the places here in Kingston, I don't know if Kingston do that, it's like, you've seen the picture because I've got to get a chance. It's mountainous around Kingston. And out in the country as mountains. There are some plains out in the middle of the island, and there are farmers that do grow a lot of crops, and they're trying, the government is trying desperately to encourage these people to grow the crops. But you know what they're finding? A lot of farmers will spend a lot of time farming, bringing the crops to the market, but they're finding that it's still expensive, and that there are people flying in, going in, things, and they can put it for cheaper on the shelves with the farmers and we can get there. It's hard. That's another thing. The cost of living in Jamaica is terrible. It's terrible. How much do you think you pay for a can of tomato soup? How much do you pay for a can of tomato soup here?
85 cents.
Is it 85 cents? You pay about $1.50 for it. Between $1 and $1.50 in Jamaica.
What's the price of gas?
Yes, probably about, it's roughly the same, I think, right now. But it's, I think, something like, we buy diesel, so it's about 42, 43 Jamaican dollars for diesel, and we convert it all. I think it's up to being $2.50 to $3 a gallon. Well, that's diesel, and you go to the other lead, and it's another higher, so it's between $2.50 and $3.50 a gallon of gasoline. Take anything we sell here, we export to Jamaica, they're going to tack on, besides the 16% sales tax, we got custom fees there, it usually costs between 30 to 50% more.
I was talking about the baby boom in the United States, what are the 18 graphics?
Wow, that's a good question. From what I basically understand, you got a lot of youth between the age of, you know, up to age 15, no, I should say it's up to age 20, I think, make up, that's correct, about 40% of the population. But it's not because of baby boom so much, but because a lot of people are leaving the island to find work. That's what happens a lot in Jamaica. In fact, you hear in the paper, you read the paper in Jamaica where Barbados, for example, needs police. So all the policemen, all the senior policemen will, you know, fill out for these jobs and get transported off the island. What do? You lose. Jamaica is losing a lot of its, what do you call, intellectual wealth to other countries. Here's some poor down in Jamaica. A person can get off the island and get a job and have to treat their money.
Thank you.
sitting up for worship, or doing more things that I shouldn't be doing, more than I have a congregation. But anyway, more just doing your basic pastoral duties, visiting, counseling, Bible classes, leadership training. Those are things that take up a lot of time. Is that right?
Do you travel out to these remote sites very often?
Not too often. The one in Bath Mountain, we travel once in a while, but it's more self-sufficient. Pastor Neil, now since Pastor Neil's on, things have changed, and we're getting more involved in Bath Mountain and helping out there. The situation there, we're not sure if that community will be able to, what can I say, have a church that is self-sustainable. But people are so poor in that area, they're really doing things. And a lot of times, what's happening in Bath Mountain, the community is made up of a lot of families whose husbands have left the area to find work. So it's a lot of women raising their kids, which happens a lot in Jamaica.
A lot of times.
The families, it's a whole different situation what I grew up with. But for example, what can happen in Jamaica is a family will have a mother, father, five kids. They'll see a brother and sister, well, an uncle or aunt, who don't have any kids, and say, okay, Jack, you go live with them, and they'll take care of you. And they'll give that child to them, and they'll basically raise them as your own. It's kind of, it's not a cool thing. It's a thing like a family. The family is there's just different things about the family. We're all one family, basically. You take care of Jack, or Jack thinks, yeah, that's my child, and now he's kind of your child, and the kids go along with it. They're used to that situation. Whether good or bad,
what is the average birth rate? Is that five children per woman fairly typical?
I have no idea. But I have heard a statistic that's even more the scariest. In the Caribbean, what was that statistic? But it's dealt with abortion. They were saying how would you say that? Out of every three pregnancies, two of them are aborted in the Caribbean. So, and Jamaica was part of that. This is a horrible, high situation of abortion. I'm not sure about Jamaica itself. I don't know. There are a lot of kids. I know that. A lot of kids. And there's kids having kids. So, and in the culture of Jamaica, it's more of a situation where women are dominated by men, and women accept that. It's a part of the culture. When a woman walks across the street or along the street, and she's dressed in a way that's, the men will notice, and they'll whistle, they'll talk, and they'll give her attention. I don't know what to do about that. I don't know if I can do anything about that, but it's a part of their culture.
How does Amy deal with that culture?
Now, she's surprised when men, I mean, she's kind of pushed, she's very shy, but she's surprised when men give her attention, attention like that. But she's just kind of shocked and goes, there it is. In fact, Kingston has one of the highest murder rates in the world. I think it might be second, or third in the world. But that murder rate is between Jamaicans and Jamaicans. Rarely do you have expats coming in to murder, I should say. Now, crime, yes, we may get robbed fairly often, but usually anybody coming in for other countries for this purpose. We had a manslaughter one. That was a really dramatic story for that. Funny. We were getting ready to come home for vacation. I can't remember exactly what I was ready to go to another country, but we came. We packed everything. We said, oh, let's save some time. Let's put things in the van the night before. Okay, so we put things in the van. I didn't put my suitcase in the van because I didn't know what to do yet. And get up in the morning, and I open the door, and I go outside to put more stuff in the van, and I come back and say, hey, the van is open. Our flight leaves at 7. So all her clothes, her kids' clothes, and her clothes. never put our stuff in the mail for them.
I see a slide in there, a bunch of wheel covers.
Yeah, well, before you did, yeah, wheel covers, just one part of the street. It's very common to have, sidewalk stands for people selfies. And there's this one gentleman in front of me who has probably about 400 hubcaps, so he's collecting them himself. He has all those people, and usually it's on this really rough part of the road where it gets in the forest. And actually, he sets up there, and he's able to retrieve it, and then sell it back.
Class, right at the same time.
Yeah, thank you.